Chapter 27. I shall go to the wall, he said, with a sort of jocular desperation. Even that declaration did not make her look at him. Her head remained still, her eyes fixed upon the house of the Avellanos, whose chipped pilasters, broken cornices, the whole degradation of dignity was hidden now by the gathering dusk of the street. In her whole figure her lips alone moved, forming the words, Martin, you will make me cry. He remained silent for a minute, startled, as if overwhelmed by a sort of odd happiness, with the lines of the mocking smile still stiffened about his mouth, and incredulous surprise in his eyes. The value of a sentence is in the personality which utters it, for nothing new can be said by man or woman. And those were the last words, it seemed to him, that could ever have been spoken by Antonia. He had never made it up with her so completely in all their intercourse of small encounters. But even before she had time to turn towards him, which she did slowly with a rigid grace, he had begun to plead, My sister is only waiting to embrace you. My father is transported with joy. I won't say anything of my mother. Our mothers were like sisters. There is the mail boat for the south next week, let us go. That Moraga is a fool. A man like Montero is bribed. It's the practice of the country. It's tradition, it's politics. Read 50 years of misrule. Leave poor Papa alone, Don Martin. He believes I have the greatest tenderness for your father, he began, hurriedly. But I love you, Antonia. And Moraga has miserably mismanaged this business. Perhaps your father did too, I don't know. Montero was bribable. Why, I suppose he only wanted his share of this famous loan for national development. Why didn't the stupid star, Marta people give him a mission to Europe, or something? He would have taken 5 years' salary in advance, and gone on loafing in Paris, this stupid, ferocious Indio. The man, she said, thoughtfully, and very calm before this outburst, was intoxicated with vanity. We had all the information, not from Moraga only, from others too. There was his brother intriguing too. Oh, yes, he said. Of course you know. You know everything. You read all the correspondence, you write all the papers, all those state papers that are inspired here, in this room, in blind deference to a theory of political purity. Hadn't you Charles Gould before your eyes? Ray de Sulaco. He and his mind are the practical demonstration of what could have been done. Do you think he succeeded by his fidelity to a theory of virtue? And all those railway people, with their honest work. Of course, their work is honest. But what if you cannot work honestly till the thieves are satisfied? Could he not, a gentleman, have told this Sir John what's-his-name, that Montero had to be bought off he, and all his Negro liberals hanging onto his gold-laced sleeve? He ought to have been bought off with his own stupid weight of gold, his weight of gold, I tell you, boots, saber, spurs, cocked hat, and all. She shook her head slightly. It was impossible, she murmured. He wanted the whole lot? What? She was facing him now in the deep recess of the window, very close and motionless. Her lips moved rapidly. Deckard, leaning his back against the wall, listened with crossed arms and lowered eyelids. He drank the tones of her even voice, and watched the agitated life of her throat, as if waves of emotion had run from her heart, to pass out into the air in her reasonable words. He also had his aspirations. He aspired to carry her away out of these deadly futilities of pronunciamientos and reforms. All this was wrong, utterly wrong, but she fascinated him, and sometimes the sheer sagacity of a phrase would break the charm, replace the fascination by a sudden unwilling thrill of interest. Some women hovered, as it were, on the threshold of genius, he reflected. They did not want to know, or think, or understand. Passion stood for all that, and he was ready to believe that some startlingly profound remark, some appreciation of character, or a judgment upon an event, be ordered on the miraculous. In the mature Antonia he could see with an extraordinary vividness the austere schoolgirl of the earlier days. She seduced his attention. Sometimes he could not restrain a murmur of assent. Now and then he advanced an objection quite seriously. Gradually they began to argue. The curtain half hid them from the people in the sala. Outside it had grown dark. From the deep trench of shadow between the houses, lit up vaguely by the glimmer of street lamps, ascended the evening silence of Sulaco, the silence of a town with few carriages, of unshod horses, and a softly sandaled population. The windows of the Casa Gould flung their shining parallelograms upon the house of the Avellanos. Now and then a shuffle of feet passed below with the pulsating red glow of a cigarette at the foot of the walls, and the night air, as if cooled by the snows of Higuerota, refreshed their faces. "We Occidentals," said Martin Decad, using the usual term the provincials of Sulaco applied to themselves, "have been always distinct and separated. As long as we hold Cata, nothing can reach us. In all our troubles, no army has marched over those mountains. A revolution in the central provinces isolates us at once. Look how complete it is now. The news of Berrio's movement will be cabled to the United States, and only in that way will it reach Sta. Marta by the cable from the other seaboard. We have the greatest riches, the greatest fertility, the purest blood in our great families, the most laborious population. The Occidental province should stand alone. The early federalism was not bad for us. Then came this union which Don Henry Gould resisted. It opened the road to tyranny, and, ever since, the rest of Costaguana hangs like a millstone round our necks. The Occidental territory is large enough to make any man's country. Look at the mountains. Nature itself seems to cry to us, separate." She made an energetic gesture of negation. A silence fell. "Oh, yes, I know it's contrary to the doctrine laid down in the history of 50 years' misrule. ... I am only trying to be sensible. But my sense seems always to give you cause for offense. Have I startled you very much with this